While that's warming up, I'll tell you a little bit about who I am, a little bit more. The Communities Putting Prevention to Work program and Community Transformation Grant program are two very large programs out of CDC working on community health initiatives. Many of you are likely very familiar with these programs. I serve as the team lead for performance monitoring of these programs, and as a component of that performance monitoring, we work on reach, and I will explain this to you. This is presented by me, but my colleagues are also very heavily involved. It's Becky Bunnell, Robin Soler, Becky Payne, Beth Reimels, Lazarus Mabulo, Pam Impero, and Alicia Swan. I'd like to give them credit as well. So CPPW, Communities Putting Prevention to Work. It's a two-year focus program. It's a program for 2 years. Its emphasis is chronic disease prevention. Obesity and tobacco are the primary areas of interest, mostly looking at physical activity and nutrition for obesity, and then tobacco use prevention. There's 50 communities across the country of varying sizes working on this in rural and urban areas, and it's estimated to reach 55 million people, which is approximately 1 in 5 Americans. So it has a broad-reaching impact. CTG is the next wave that came after CPPW. It's called Community Transformation Grant Program. It's a little longer. It's 5 years. It's focused on the same aspects as CPPW with a few additions. It's added social and emotional wellness and clinical preventative services. So those were added. And this is taking place in 61 communities across the country. And there is an estimated reach of 120 million people. So a bigger reach than the former program. And I'll tell you how we got to those numbers. So what is reach? It's the estimated number of unique individuals impacted by a program. It's how many people you're touching, how many people are exposed to the initiative. We measure it in the number of people by setting, where they live, work, eat, play, and pray. So we look at the number of people and the units of the setting, and I'll explain these. Reach is not new for public health. It's a central construct that we hear used in a lot of evaluations. It's very heavily used in the tobacco field, and it's very useful for a number of reasons. But we found that there's not really a standardized approach for measuring reach in the literature. It's not that well established. Everybody takes their own unique approach, and so we were scrambling, trying to understand the best way to do this, and came up with our approach here based on the, what we could find in the literature and the gray literature. So why is reach important? Well, these are very large public programs, not unlike other federally funded and those funded by a nonprofit community, working on community health. So with that comes a lot of demand for results, trying to understand what works, how many people were impacted, what the health outcomes are, those types of things. But the problem is that it takes several years for us to see health outcomes. As many of you are very aware, you don't see results right away. It takes a little while for the behavior changes and those types of things to take place. So reach data help provide us with some interim data, some interim initial information on the awardees and what they're doing. It's the first step. We're not saying it's the ultimate step in the evaluation, but it's the first step. So this is our approach to reach. We see it as it taking place in the very first sections of the logic model. We have the project activities, and then we have the environmental changes. And this is where the changes take place with respect to reach. This is where we're measuring. We don't get down to behavior changes or health outcomes, which are the ultimate goal, but with a two-year program like CPPW, we won't be seeing those that quickly. We see them later down the road. So how is reach data used? Well, it's used to determine how well the implemented interventions are reaching their intended target. Are they reaching the people they were intended to reach? It's also used to maximize the allocation of resources, and I'll discuss that in a moment on how we calculate that. It helps guide mid-course corrections. If we think in the beginning we're going to reach 1,000 people and we find that we're only reaching 500, maybe we need to tweak how we're implementing it a little bit. And it provides that information to policymakers and those who are interested in these programs to see if they're working. It gives us some concrete numbers to be able to say how many people they're reaching and the types of activities that are taking place by intervention and how many people we're reaching. and it helps inform future investments in community health. So these are some of the questions that we were able to answer with these programs and how we've set up our database. We can tell exactly how many students are being impacted by these programs based on the number of schools who are involved. So we can calculate that in any different way. So one example would be asking how many low-income students are affected by these programs, and we can pull up that data. Another example would be how many units of multi-unit housing are smoke-free. So you're also calculating the settings, not just the number of people, but the numbers of settings. So this would be the number of apartments. And we could get down even in more detail and ask how many elderly Hispanic residents are benefiting from the new smoke-free environments. So we can get very specific based on how we have the information organized. Similarly, we can say the same thing for hospitals. These are also some little blurbs that we have for CPBW on the calculations that we've done. These are based on all of the programs, the 50 communities across the board, that are based on each intervention that they're implementing. So not all communities are involved in each of these, but those that are, this is the numbers that they have. So it's fairly significant. We've used these little blurbs in presentations, give some input on how many people these programs are impacting. I won't read them to you. So our approach is based on the premise that the communities are adopting practice and evidence-based strategies. We are not evaluating that at the front end, but we're assuming that that is what's taking place. We're collaborating with the communities so that everybody's using the same measurement structure, we're all using the same sources, and we're identifying the measures in the same way. To do that, it can be confusing if you're trying to understand quickly how many people you're reaching by these initiatives. So we provide some guidance documents to the communities. And we ask the awardees to provide this as a part of their regular program reporting. So every quarter, they provide us with updates on how many people have been reached. And one thing that's a little caveat is that all reach data are estimates. We're not actually out there counting heads. It's the number of people that are estimated to reach. So it's a ballpark figure. The other thing is that people can be counted twice. So they're not... it's not a one-person scenario. If we're counting them in different interventions or different settings, the same person may be counted more than one time, which means that we don't sum up our intervention categories. We have to be very careful about how we report the data. So this is the process that we've used for CPBW. The communities have their work plans. The plans are coded for intervention settings in disparate populations. Then we pull that data and we give each awardee, each community, a customized spreadsheet based on what they've already told us. We give the information back and ask for more details. So we provide them with guidance on how to put the data together and how to find the information. And then we enter the information in a database that allows us to do all these queries. So this is just an example of some of the guidance that has been provided to communities or will be provided to communities. We have many, many combinations of settings and interventions, so this is just a small subset of them. So an example would be smoke-free housing. And the number of people, you could find that from the U.S. Census Quick Facts on the average number of people per household by county or city. That's one way to look at it, and you can multiply that by the number of residents or divide it. And then you could find the settings using HUD's information. HUD has the residence characteristics report, so you could find out how many housing units there actually are. So these are estimates. There will be some noise in the data, but it does provide some good information on where you can find your information and make sure everybody's using the same data sources. One thing we've made clear is that these are just suggested sources. In many cases, communities have a much better source of data that's more concrete and that works better, and that's perfectly fine to use. So every quarter, we analyze the data and update our data. We have estimates of actual and potential reach. So potential reach is the number of people that could be reached by the end of the program. So if it's a five-year program, by the end of 5 years, how many people have been reached? Actual reach is at that point in time. If a community is implementing an intervention in 10 schools dealing with school nutrition, if they've done it in one school, that would be the actual reach to date, but their projected reach would be the 10 schools. And then we slice the information, like I showed early in the beginning, where we can show it by programs, by community, by intervention, by setting, disparate population, or any combination of those. We can put the data together. So here's an example of how we might calculate the projected and actual reach. As the information comes in each quarter on what has been implemented, we will be able to increase our actual reach. So in the Community A example, we have reduced exposure to secondhand smoke among residents in 15 municipalities. So in March 2013, the exposure was reduced in one municipality, so we count that one municipality. Next quarter, it will be likely that we'll have more, and so on until we reach the actual reach. Similarly with schools are a good example. We're looking at four school districts, but at the point of this report, only two school districts were able to implement their new procedures. So one thing we found to be very useful in the reach data is understanding the percentage of the population served. So in this first example, we have the number of people per intervention and then the total number of people in the community. So if you have a large community of 100,000 people and you're reaching 10,000 people, it's a 10% ratio. We can do this by setting. We can look at all the work sites in the community, all the churches, all the schools, all the parks, any of those types of settings, and tell at that point in time how many have been reached and what's the overall projected reach by setting. And we, for health equity, which is becoming increasingly more important and a heavy emphasis on these programs, we can also look at the number of low income or other categories to make sure we're reaching who we want to reach. If we find we're only reaching 5% of the low income population, that may not be the best intervention, and we may want to shift our approach a little bit. So reach takes place in many, many community settings. This is just a few. We have a hierarchical way of organizing these, so we can roll up and roll down to get very specific. For instance, we would have education, and then we can go down to K-12, then we can go down to elementary school, or we can report at the education level. So we can pull it all the way down. There's several layers. But the emphasis on both of these programs is trying to reach the most people, trying to make a jurisdiction-wide impact. So CDC has been encouraging communities to go for those interventions that really reach more people, rather than trying to find an intervention that impacts maybe a small percentage, 3% or 5% of the community. The focus is to reach out to more. So the jurisdiction-wide impact is important. And how this is, comes out in the real world, we have a paper out there that looks at this, looks at the jurisdictional reach across interventions, many intervention categories. So across all of CPBW interventions, 43% of, their estimated reach, 43% of their jurisdictional population across the board. That's an average of about 100 intervention categories, an average of their average. That's how that's reported. So two examples would be farm to institution interventions. And across CPBW, they were estimated to reach 31% of the population. So there's many different things that would fall in that category. So we're reaching quite a broad spectrum of the community. Competitive food interventions, we are estimating to reach only 8%. So if you were to make a choice as to which would be the most effective, maybe farm to institution would be the better approach. So some of the limitations of the reach data is that we're not considering dose or effect size. I know one of my colleagues will be presenting later on this later in the session. So we are looking really only at the first steps. We're not looking at how impactful those interventions might be. They're estimates only, and they provide snapshots for continually changing numbers. The numbers are constantly changing as things are implemented. As I mentioned earlier, we assume fidelity of implementation of the practice and evidence-based strategies, so we're assuming that they were implemented correctly. And we cannot gauge the health outcomes. So what are the implications? Reach can be used as a strong indicator for program planning, implementation, and assessment. It provides early information on the program breadth. We may not have those results at the end of 2 years, but we can give concrete numbers on how many people were reached and give examples of where they were reached. It helps communicate this information to stakeholders, so we have information to present to many different sources, media, policy, just different groups that might be interested in these numbers. And also, as we've progressed in our understanding of reach, we've realized that the percent of the population may be a better indicator than overall numbers. And so if we're looking at how many people across the jurisdiction are reached, that has to do with the percent of the population, rather than looking at the actual numbers. It's not fair to a small rural community to say you've only reached 5,000 people and compare it to New York City, who's reached 500,000, because the denominator is a very different number. So we're saying that the percentage might be a better way to look at this. And finally, this helps to inform the resource allocation, understanding what might be the most effective way to spend the resources and to plan, make changes along the way. A jurisdiction might also be a microcosm. It may be all schools, for instance. If we're looking at a PE policy or a PE change, we wouldn't use the entire population of that community as the denominator because it wouldn't be impacting them. So the actual denominator there would be all schools. We also are able to look at the representative of disparate populations, which is highly important for these programs, making sure we're reaching out to everyone. Another way that this has been looked at is a cost per capita. So looking at the number of people reached per how much the overall funding is for that. So that's another way of putting this information together. And one thing that CDC has emphasized heavily is striving to reach the largest unit possible. If the effort's the same to make changes in the community, why make that change in one school? Go for the school district. That's the focus of these. Reach out to more and more and more. So instead of one agency, get the whole government. Instead of one hospital, get the hospital system. So that is the best way to reach out to the most people and to make sure that these are having maximum impact. And that is all for me. I think we're taking questions at the end. Is that right? Thank you very much.